Welcome to EncLive On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. EncLive On Air is a podcast from EncLive, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, EncLive covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Mark Pegram, MD, the Susie Wan Hui Hung Endowed Professor of Medical Oncology and Associate Dean for Clinical Research Quality at Stanford University School of Medicine and Associate Director of Clinical Research at the Stanford Comprehensive Cancer Institute. Pegram joined us to discuss treatment sequencing in metastatic HER2-positive breast cancer. Many recent trials and approvals have paved the way for exciting treatment opportunities in breast cancer. For instance, in May 2022, the FDA approved trastuzumab deruxtecan as a second-line therapy for adult patients with unresectable or metastatic HER2-positive breast cancer based on findings from the Phase 3 DESTINY-Breast03 trial. This trial showed that treatment with trastuzumab deruxtecan provided superior progression-free survival and overall survival compared with trastuzumab emtansine. In our exclusive interview, Pegram discussed his approaches to treatment sequencing, recent updates to the National Comprehensive Cancer Network guidelines, and the influence of the DESTINY-Breast03 trial on the breast cancer treatment paradigm. What disease and patient-related factors influence your approach to treatment sequencing in HER2-positive metastatic breast cancer?
Sequencing of therapy for HER2-positive metastatic disease has been a moving target, particularly in the past couple of years, because of the wealth of new targeted agents that are very effective, some even effective against brain metastasis, for example. And so the treatment paradigm has completely changed in that span of time. This is a very rapid pace of new breakthroughs in the clinical management of metastatic HER2-positive disease. Now, that said, the CLEOPATRA regimen of taxane, trastuzumab, and pertuzumab remains the queen in the first-line setting for most metastatic patients. That said, there are trials underway to try to dethrone the CLEOPATRA regimen, if you will. Those include the addition of alpelisib in a maintenance strategy following the taxane in the CLEOPATRA regimen for patients who have PIK3CA mutations. Also, there's some interest in trying to add in CDK4/6 inhibitors in those patients that are HER2-positive and also ER-positive in that maintenance phase of the CLEOPATRA regimen after you've completed the taxane portion and are continuing the dual antibody maintenance phase. So we'll see whether those approaches are effective. And finally, atezolizumab is being investigated in a randomized phase 3 trial of taxane, trastuzumab, pertuzumab with or without atezolizumab to test the hypothesis of whether checkpoint inhibition might also be more effective than the CLEOPATRA regimen historically alone. Now, in the second line space, things get tricky right off the bat because trastuzumab deruxtecan has just graduated to the second line based on the strength of the DESTINY-Breast03 randomized clinical trial showing superiority of trastuzumab deruxtecan compared to T-DM1, which used to be our preferred second line regimen, but is no more. That said, for patients that have brain metastasis, since we have level one evidence of an overall survival benefit in HER2-positive brain metastasis from the HER2CLIMB regimen, tucatinib-based treatment with the tucatinib-trastuzumab-capecitabine combination may well be indicated for most patients with brain metastasis, particularly those with any active brain metastasis. There's no question that the tucatinib-based regimen is the treatment of choice at this point. But some might use trastuzumab deruxtecan for stable brain metastasis. I think that would be okay. There's data from DESTINY-Breast03 showing about a 65% response rate in the brain for trastuzumab deruxtecan for stable HER2-positive brain metastasis in that DB03 study. So I'm in equipoise between tucatinib and trastuzumab for stable brain metastasis. So I think patients could weigh in based on the side effect profiles of each regimen, perhaps in that instance. In the third line, if they haven't had trastuzumab deruxtecan yet because they had brain mets, or if they haven't had tucatinib yet because they got second line trastuzumab deruxtecan, then depending on their treatment history, they would get whatever they haven't had yet, or T-DM1 is also still a consideration in the third or later line T-DM1 would still be an option in the fourth line, along with margetuximab plus chemotherapy, particularly for patients that have FF genotypes of the CD16A, FC gamma R3A receptor. If they have an FF genotype, those patients particularly benefit from margetuximab. And there are new diagnostic assays that have just become commercially available to measure that genotype in HER2-positive metastatic breast cancer patients who are contemplating the use of a margetuximab regimen. And then finally, these old standbys, we still have trastuzumab plus chemotherapy can still be active in the salvage setting. Trastuzumab plus lapatinib is still available. Some patients will treat refractory HER2-positive brain metastasis with neratinib and capecitabine. One has to be mindful of GI toxicities in that instance, but it is an option as well. So with the dearth of new agents ranging from small molecule kinase inhibitors like tucatinib, new antibody drug conjugates that are more potent and superior to T-DM1 like trastuzumab deruxtecan, Fc-engineered antibodies like margetuximab, new combinations potentially moving forward. This is a fast-paced field, and I expect that we're going to see further changes in the current paradigm for sequencing all of these HER2-targeted therapies in HER2-positive metastatic disease in the not-too-distant future.
What has been the impact of the DESTINY-Breast03 data?
The DESTINY-Breast03 study was a head-to-head comparison of T-DM1 versus trastuzumab deruxtecan. And the efficacy endpoint of that study, the primary endpoint, was simply stunning. Trastuzumab deruxtecan beat T-DM1 handily with a hazard ratio of 0.28, which is the lowest hazard ratio I've seen of any clinical trial of metastatic breast cancer, bar none. It was highly statistically significant with a p-value of something like 10 to the negative 22nd. Which is the lowest p-value I've ever seen. There was an overall survival trend with a p-value now standing at about 0.007 that did not yet meet the pre-specified boundary at the time of this interim analysis, but it sure looks like it has a strong chance as we collect more time-to-event data for the OS endpoint. It sure looks probable that DESTINY-Breast03 will have a survival benefit in the long term, but we'll have to wait further data sweeps of that trial to be sure of that. In terms of safety signals, there were no new safety signals for T-DM1. Trastuzumab deruxtecan can cause chemo-like symptoms, including GI toxicity, fatigue, cytopenias. Antiemetics are typically employed. It's a moderately emetogenic agent, for example. Alopecia in about half of patients also. And then one adverse event of particular concern is that of pulmonary toxicity in the form of interstitial lung disease, drug-induced pneumonitis. And fortunately, in DESTINY-Breast03, there were no grade 4 or 5 ILD events. So I think hopefully that means that now that we're treating patients in earlier lines of treatment who may be less susceptible to that particular lung toxicity. Moreover, the investigators at DESTINY-Breast03 were well informed about the grade 5 toxicities that were seen in about 2.7% of the DESTINY-Breast01 patient population, which were heavily, heavily pretreated. And now that clinicians are aware and informed and are on the lookout for ILD, you can catch it earlier, intervene with drug interruption, steroid medication if necessary, pulmonary consultation, et cetera. And so it's hoped that moving forward, that particular adverse event will not be of major clinical concern as long as there's heightened awareness and patients have a high index of suspicion for that condition.
Is there anything else you'd like to mention about the evolving landscape of HER2-positive metastatic breast cancer?
I mean, there's never been a more exciting time to be involved in clinical research in HER2-positive breast cancer than the present because of the improvements in technologies for new therapeutics. For example, tucatinib is a pure HER2 kinase inhibitor as opposed to other historical HER2 kinase inhibitors that also blocked other HER receptors, leading to increased toxicities and probably no benefit in terms of efficacy. That was a medicinal chemistry tour de force. Trastuzumab deruxtecan has many features at a molecular level that distinguish it from T-DM1. It has a cleavable linker. It has more molecules of deruxtecan per antibody backbone compared to T-DM1. So that's probably an important factor. You can give it in higher dose than T-DM1. The cytotoxic payload is soluble, so it has a bystander effect. It can kill adjacent tumor cells to which the antibody drug conjugate hasn't even yet been bound, whereas DM1 is insoluble and can't kill neighboring cells, whether they have HER2 or not. Antibody engineering is another exciting area, and margetuximab is a classic example of that, and I'm sure not the last. We're seeing now in the literature promising new antibody drug conjugates that have immunologic payloads instead of chemo payloads, for example. And then the other really appealing prospect for all of these advances in metastatic disease in the clinical arena is the possibility of moving these agents up, since they're clearly more active than our historical therapeutic armamentarium. Moving them up into earlier stage disease may well result in improvements in the cure rate for HER2 positive early breast cancer. So that's really exciting. And we're already seeing clinical trials pitting some of these exciting drugs head to head against conventional treatments for HER2 positive early breast cancer. For example, there's a study in the setting of patients who don't achieve a pathologic complete response following HER2 targeted neoadjuvant therapy. Right now, the standard of care is T-DM1 based on the strength of the Catherine trial, which showed a clear benefit for patients getting T-DM1 in that instance compared to continuing trastuzumab for the rest of the year in the adjuvant setting. Well, now there's a trial comparing trastuzumab deruxtecan head-to-head against T-DM1 in that setting, in early breast cancer in the adjuvant setting. So this is really, really exciting. And I expect that will result in improvements of disease control in early breast cancer, indeed, hopefully improving cure rates. And then we won't have to worry about sequencing in metastatic disease. There will be fewer and fewer metastatic patients in the future. And that's an exciting prospect because, unfortunately, most metastatic patients are not curable, except for the small fraction who have the so-called exceptional responses, who are apparently cured in some anecdotal instances. But they're few and far between, unfortunately. So getting rid of HER2 positive metastatic disease already is a realistic possibility for the future.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLive SOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.